Good morning. The Bible reading this morning is found in 1 John 3, verses 19 to 24, and then a second reading in 1 John 4, verses 13 to 18. That's also in the Red Pew Bible on page 987. 1 John 3, starting at verse 19. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. And chapter 4, verse 13. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Thank you. Hello again, friends. Please do have that part of God's word open in front of you. If you don't, I would encourage you to have the physical version of God's word in front. It is helpful for us as we go through it together. I'm going to pray because, to be honest, there are some very confusing things that go on in this passage. There's some beautifully clear things as well. And so I've been praying throughout the week. I hope that you pray too. When you pray in this moment, that God speaks clear to us. And after I prayed, there'll be a little video on the screen to spark our thoughts. Let's pray. Our good and our gracious God, together we thank you for your word. We really do. We thank you that you've given it to us, and that you've given your Son Jesus, the Word in flesh, and you've given us your Spirit to help understand it. Father, this morning, may my words be yours, and Spirit, work in our life so we can understand these words. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have confidence in sunshine. I have confidence in rain. Confidence that spring will come again, besides which you see I have confidence in me. Strength doesn't lie in numbers, strength doesn't lie in wealth, strength lies in nights of peaceful slumbers. When you wake up, wake up, it tells thee all I trust I leave my heart to, all I trust becomes my own. I have confidence in confidence alone.
Oh, help.
We can be like that, can't we? Right? Oh, help. Full of confidence, bounding down the street, speaking words of affirmation to ourselves, and then something confronts us, crisis of confidence, immediately. All those things that were giving us confidence before quickly evade us away. Now, that can be in so many areas of our life, and it can certainly happen when it comes to our faith, our confidence that we're in Christ, confidence that we are walking assured. And sometimes we can feel like that, walking confidently, walking assured, and then, oh, help. Something happens. A thought comes. Who knows what it could be? And so I want to ask yourself right now, do you feel confident in your relationship with God? Do you feel confident that you're a genuine Christian? Do you feel confident of that every day? The reality is, for, I want to say all of us, but I'll say at least for most of us, of which I'm in this camp, we struggle with doubts. We don't always walk with exceptional confidence in all of the aspects of our life. We ask ourselves from time to time, am I really saved? Does God truly love me? Will he give up on me at some point? We have moments where our confidence isn't as secure and as sure as we hope or long for it to be. And many things in our life can shake that confidence. It could be one of your best friends walks away. It could be pain, suffering comes into your life, maybe as a result of being a Christian. It could be unanswered questions. It could be, why is it just so hard? It could be, there's just so many other religions. Could this one be the way? Are we really confident in our walk with God? Are we truly Christian? Now, this is a question that we ask, but it's not a question that's unique to us. It was clearly a question that came up for the first readers of 1 John. That's why John wrote this letter. One of his primary purposes is to help them to walk assured so they can be confident in their life with Christ. And he points them to the fact that they can have confidence in every single aspect of life. And that's what these verses point to. They show us in every aspect of life, whatever we're feeling, thinking, going through, we can walk in confidence. And it's speaking directly to the Christian. And so if you're not a Christian here this morning, we are so glad you're here. It is awesome that you get to come and worship with us, hear about all the things that God says that we believe and what goes on in the Bible. But these words are not to you. But you have a very unique position today. Because just like a person who goes to work experience in a workplace, they're not employed by the work, but they get to see, they get to hear, they get to experience what the work is like, they get to experience the people. You get to experience what a Christian confident, what a Christian has that makes them confident. You will get to see what these words say that makes a Christian walk in confidence in every aspect of their life. And it's far greater than anything that is found anywhere else. And so that's where we're going. Now remember, as we explore this, these two passages, which are quite similar, if you remember by now, John is fairly repetitive, and these passages certainly go together. John's purpose in writing is there's some secessionists, some false teachers who have left the church and who are pulling the people away and are telling them about a different teachings about Jesus and how you live doesn't matter. And John is saying, no, we have to follow the genuine, authentic, real Jesus, the one we read about in the Bible, and how we live needs to reflect that. But it seems that those two things as well have also brought some insecurities. It seems as though some of the people are thinking, well, I don't know if I live up to these expectations. I don't know if I'm living up to these words of the commands to love and all these kind of things. And sometimes we can read passages like this as like a test of confidence. But actually, these passages are giving us the confidence that we can have as we walk before him. Because John knows and we know, when we're not feeling confident in something, we scramble around to find it. We want to hold something, cling to something that's going to make us feel secure, make us feel confident. Maybe we look within and give ourselves a pep talk like we saw Maria do. Maybe we look back to a personal experience that we've had. Maybe we look towards another person who's walking along before us. And all of those things have a degree of helpfulness to them. But none of those things are secure. At some point, one of those things will let you down. Maybe the self-talk is a lie. Maybe the personal experience that you've had doesn't match the one that you're going through. Maybe you haven't had a positive past experience. Maybe you look at other people and they have a completely different life to you. Maybe they just have a greater capacity than you. Any of those things that we look to hold our confidence will ultimately fall down. And what John is saying here is that when we're feeling insecure, when we're not feeling confident, when we're in the scramble to find it, this is where you're going to find your confidence. This is where you scramble to. that we know that we can belong to God. Now, there's plenty of things going on in this passage, but I'm going to point out four ways. Four ways where we can find confidence that we belong to God. Now, the first place is in God's greatness. In God's greatness, and especially in contrast to us not being great, God being great. Now, have a read with me, chapter 3, verse 19 and 21. This is how we know we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence being God. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. That is close to one of the most confusing verses you will read in the Bible. And I know it's confusing for a number of reasons. One, you read it and you're confused. That's a good giveaway. Second, if you read another translation of this, you read the ESV, you read the NLT, you read the NASB, you read some other English translation, it will read differently. And not so much in the words are always different from translation to translation, but the actual meaning of what's going on is different. Now, I don't say that to scare you in any way. I just say there's parts of the Bible which are confusing, and it's difficult to interpret and know what the meaning is. Now, I'm not going to go through all the different interpretations of what we can gather from here. I want to point out what is common amongst them all and what we can be confident in. Because I initially read this passage wrong to begin the week. I was reading verse 19 as pointing forward. And I think the NIV is actually unhelpful in how it writes it, but neither here nor there. It says, this is how we know we belong to the truth, how we set our hearts at rest, colon. And it looks as though you look at verse 20 and 21 to give you the confidence. It's like John is like saying, well, here's a test. This is what happens. Look at your heart. That's how you're going to know. Not true. That's not what's happening. This is actually pointing backwards. Sorry, backwards for you is that way. Backwards to verse 18. So let me reread verse 18 and use a slightly different translation to go into 19. It says this. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. By this you will know that you belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Now, maybe that's not completely helping you all the way, but it's saying point back to the way that we're living our life. Point back further to that, to Christ and the truth. That's where you get your confidence from, not from looking at your heart. Another way of saying what these verses are doing is this is giving you confidence, not testing your confidence. John is telling Christian, you can be confident because of who God is and the work that he's doing in your life, not how you're feeling. That's what the conscience, the heart feeling condemned is going on about. Because it's super normal for a Christian to think, like, I love Jesus of the Bible and I want to love people like God is calling me to do. God is love, he is within us, it naturally does flow out. But we go, I cannot live up to the expectations. And at some point, our heart seems to condemn us. There could be so many reasons for that going on, but we don't feel confident. I'm not living up to what God has set for me to do. And I certainly know that inner feeling. Now, we know from exploring so many parts of the Bible that our love for others is not what saves us, right? We know that. But we know that the love is an expression of the fact that we are being saved. And so what John is encouraging us to do, if we do have faith in Jesus, if God is at work in our life, then don't look at the inner feelings of your heart whether or not to give you confidence. Look at God. Look to the fact that he knows all. He is greater. And when we look to him, that brings a far greater confidence than trusting whatever is going on in our heart. Our heart is a very untrustworthy source. And so John is saying, look to God, and then he settles and gives rest to our heart. Maybe this will help from an example from my life. When I used to work in construction, I worked for a project management company called Littman, and we worked on a job at Mac Uni. And this job at Mac Uni was relatively small in monetary terms, but was a big project for our company because of the direction things were going on. There was a whole lot of pressure on this job. I was relatively new. I was in my third year. I was working really hard. but also making a lot of mistakes. And we weren't quite hitting our KPIs, we weren't hitting the exact things we wanted to hit, our budget wasn't quite being met, and I was feeling super anxious. I'd actually call my wife Elizabeth every lunch just to process and just relieve some of that anxiety. And my performance review was coming up. And in my performance review, I had to sit down with the boss. And all the metrics, they were pointing some positive, some negative, and I was super anxious. But when I sat down with the boss saw all those things. He actually saw way more than that. And he said, "Matt, I can see you're working hard. I can see your commitment. I can see the way that we are in this work together. And actually, Matt, there's a whole bunch of things that have contributed to some of the negative outcomes that you have no idea about. But I know, and you're good." His word gave me confidence because he is greater than me. When he looked at me and he saw all that was going on, that changed, therefore, my heart. Nothing about the work changed. Nothing changed about the way that I worked. But his word to me changed. And that's what John is helping us to see here. So that when we reread verse 20, we see that God is so much greater than us, and that is where we rest our heart. We don't rest our heart in our action. We rest our heart in the greatness of God. So then we read verse 21 as the outcome. So read 21 again. It says, "Dear friends, if our hearts then do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Because he's changed our heart to not be condemned, we then can approach him with confidence." When we're looking for confidence, don't look to just your human heart to find it. Look to the greatness of God, the one who knows all. And that is where we find our confidence. Not in the inner voice, but from him. There's a commentator named Burge, and I think he summarizes it so well, so I'll just read it. He says, "Our assurance is anchored in God and God alone, never in our own ability to generate feelings of confidence. John is urging that God is the final arbiter of our personal spiritual well-being. We do not look into our hearts to see if we feel secure and then use this as evidence for our security in the truth." Look to the greatness of God, not to the insecurities that are going on in our heart. The second way that we can find our confidence, where we look to find our confidence, is in God's word, in particularly in what God says. Now, unlike verses 19 to 21, 22 to 23 is far clearer and very straightforward to understand, actually. Let me read it. Just going back slightly into verse 20, in this, where God says, "This is how our heart is not condemned, how we have confidence before God." Verse 22, "We know this because we keep his commands and do what pleases him." Verse 23, "And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us." God's word says you can be confident when you follow what he says, when you follow his command, and the command is explicit. Now, it's a little bit interesting because he said, follow the commands. You can see that. It's plural. The commands of God. But then he says, this is the command of God. Command being in the singular. But then the command is to love God, to believe in the Son, Christ Jesus, and to love one another. And you're like, well, that's two commands. Very important that it's in the singular. It's one command. To believe in the Son is to align our life with him, to be filled with God. That means we will love another. We'll love one another. It'd be like if you were going into a plane and said, all right, well, I'm just going to have the left plane today, the left wing of the plane today and not the right wing. Like, that just wouldn't make any sense at all. And John is saying here, believing in Jesus and loving one another is a perfectly united single command. And so when God says to you, Christian, that you believe in the Son, that's outflowing in love, you can have confidence. It's not about how much you love. It's not get to a certain level of love or get to a certain amount of years of love. It's that your belief is in Jesus, that's expressing itself in love. Be confident. John is giving the confidence to us as Christians. Just like a judge, at a final verdict in a courtroom. When he goes bang, final decision. This is God's final decision. There isn't something new you're looking for. No one else can change it. Your heart can't take it away. God says, you trust in the Son, you receive the love of God, you're living it out. Be confident. We can be assured. We rest in God's word. That's the second place we find our confidence. The third place we find our confidence is in knowing God's presence. The passage in particular talks about us being in God and God being in us, and that he gives us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Have a look with me, verse 24. And then this goes into chapter 4. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gives us. And then when you go into verse 13 of chapter 4, he almost says the exact same thing. This is how we know we live in him and he in us. He has given us the Holy Spirit. What is absolutely mind-boggling, and we see this so much throughout God's word, is that when we become a Christian, God's guarantee that we're in his family is he gives himself. He gives himself in the person of the Spirit. He dwells within us. That is why we can love. That is why we can know and believe the truth. Throughout the Gospel of John, that is the only way. Throughout the letters of John, sorry. That is the only way that the Spirit is spoken about. We hear other things about his work, but in the letters of John, it's belief in the Lord Jesus and trusting in the truth. You're doing that, that is evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life and God is within you. And that, he is what gives you the confidence. When I was a bit younger, I walked the Inca Trail with my family in Peru. And in the Inca Trail, it's hard, it's rough. I've never been there in my life, wouldn't have a clue where to go. But they give you a guide. And the guide is an Inca ancestor. His ancestors literally built the place. And what gives us confidence, what gave me confidence as I walked along was the fact that this guide was with me. It's not in my shoes. It's not in my buddy next to me. It's not even in the map. It's in the fact that this guy knows. And God is with us. The God who has written eternity, who's breathed us into being, the one who is majestic and holy and above all things is within you. And that is why he can give us confidence, because his presence is within us. That is the one way we can look within, in a sense, to find confidence. God is within us. Which then brings us to the fourth way. The fourth way that the place where we can find our confidence is in knowing God's love. Now, God's love has been throughout the Gospel of John. David preached on it last week in particular. It's come out very regularly. And so if you have a look now at chapter 4, verses 17 to 18, it says this. This is how love is made complete in us, and that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, the love of God that is in that John is speaking about here goes directly back to what he just said in verses 7 to 12, which is God is love. How did he show love among us? By sending his Son. And his Son is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's the love that God has displayed to us in Christ. And these verses are saying, when we understand that love, when that love penetrates our heart, fear goes. And especially the fear that comes at the end of time for judgment day. Because there is a day coming where God judges humanity. And there's people that are with him for eternity and people that are without him for eternity. And John is saying, Christian, you know the love of God who has sent his Son, who is the atoning sacrifice for you. God is within you by the Spirit. There is absolutely no fear for you. Not one little drop, because the perfect love of God means there isn't anything before you that can scare you. The God of love is going to meet us there because we are in Christ. Literally nothing to fear. And so God's love then fuels us with confidence for eternity. And when you don't fear death, that changes the way you live in the everyday. And so where is it that we find our confidence? Where do we look? We look towards God's greatness. We look to God's word, what he says. We look to God's presence within us, and we look to God's love. And ultimately that shows us that we have a God-centered confidence. That's where our confidence begins, continues, and ends. If you're looking for anywhere as the Christian to find confidence, we find it in him and his work in us. And so in a strange way, for Christians, most of our Christian life is, in a sense, outside of us. That's what Martin Luther says in slightly different words. So when we ask ourselves, am I confident that I'm in Christ? Am I confident that I know that he is, that I'm in his family? When the oh help moment comes, we look to God. That is where our confidence comes. We look to his work in who he is and his work in our life. And that means our heart is at rest. Going back to those verses in 19, 20, 21, which are somewhat confusing, but what John is hoping us to know and deeply enjoy is that our heart is at rest. And our heart's at rest for today, and our heart is at rest for eternity. And it shapes the way that we live. Because you know when you're confident in anything. I play soccer. When I'm confident in soccer, I play much better. When I'm confident in my Christian walk, my relationship with God is more enjoyable. The way that we love people is more freeing. When our heart is at rest, there is also no fear in death. And I came across a story this week of a man named John... John Harper. Now, John Harper was on the Titanic in 1912. And his story captures the heart of what it looks like to have a heart at rest for today and for eternity. He was a Baptist pastor, and he was going over to New York because he was a relatively prominent evangelist, and so they brought him over. His wife had died, so he went over with his sister and with his daughter. As we all know, the Titanic hit an iceberg and was doomed. He put his sister and his little daughter on lifeboat 11. And he knelt down to his little daughter and said, "I will see you again one day." Full of confidence that he would. Lets a lifeboat go down. Doesn't get on another one, goes down with the ship and is flailing around in the water with everyone. The story goes, he swam person to person asking, "Are you saved?" Going to them. Before that, people remembered that he was the one yelling out women, children, and the unsaved into the lifeboats. And then when he went up to a young man and said, "Are you saved?" The guy said, "No." And so John Harper said, "Well, you need this life jacket more than me." Took the life jacket off and gave it to him. Swam off to someone else. Swam back to the man. And for some reason, God in that moment chose to bring that young man to faith. And because of that life vest on him, that young man was physically saved and spiritually saved. John Harper's heart was at ease. He was at ease to know he can go down to his death and he will know he'll see his daughter again. His heart was at ease to know that he can love people around him. His heart was at ease to know he can share the gospel with full confidence. And his heart was at ease to know when he dies and he stands before the judgment throne of God, there is no fear for him there, because the perfect love of Christ is within him, because he stands with Christ. And friends, that's what it looks like to have a heart at ease. And that heart doesn't come from us. That heart doesn't come from John Harper's vigor. That heart comes because we know what God says about us and because we know who God is. And friends, that is how we walk assured. Where is our confidence? It's in God's presence, God's word, God's greatness, and God's love. And that is where we take our stand for now and into eternity. Let me pray. Father, thank you that you are so great. Thank you that your word is true. Thank you that you've given us your presence in the Holy Spirit. And thank you that we can be sure of your love because we're in Christ. And Father, there's things of this passage which we find difficult to understand, and I don't fully understand it in full at this moment. But we know that we can find our confidence in you as we look to you. Please help us to do that all of our days. Bring our heart at ease, and may we live a life that brings you glory, love of one another, and blessing to the world around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.